Welcome back.
Thank you.
We also have with us Sam Schneider. Sam, welcome back.
Hey, what's up, my man? I love the intro.
Thank you very much.
Does that make you X-Pac?
What's that?
Does that make him X-Pac?
Oh, maybe. He could be the X-Factor. And also, for the first time, we have another co-host with us. Welcome, Jay, from Talking with Jay.
Yeah, how's it going?
Jay, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Great.
How's it going?
We got a lot of people on the line today, and anyone else can join us as well. The number is 760-888-5749. We got a lot of wrestling news and rumors to discuss. I'm going to go ahead and start with one. I know John also prepared quite a bit. But what I wanted to talk about was this video that was put out not too long ago, just a few hours ago, from Linda McMahon's speech, her speech after she lost the race against Chris Murphy for Senate. Saw a very interesting video. I put it on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse's Facebook page for everyone to check out. But John, Vince McMahon was in this video making some strange faces. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was a little awkward to watch. It was like watching someone who just saw like their dog died on that, you know. Yeah, it was, you know, I would make some faces too if I spent almost $100 million in 4 years and two years basically and got nothing for it.
Yeah, and a very interesting thing that I saw, my good friend Ask the Heel, check him out on Facebook, he posted something about Rowdy Roddy Piper talking about how, you know, Linda and Vince McMahon spent all this money on her campaign when all this money could have gone to helping the wrestlers, giving them more. Sam, what do you think about that?
I mean, you can make an argument both ways. I mean, you know, the wrestlers, they know what they're getting into. They know that they're independent contractors and not salaried employees. So, you know, it could go either way. You know, I mean, if it didn't go to her campaign, it would have just went to, you know, to their millions that they already have. So, I mean, you can make an argument either way.
Jay, did you see this video?
I did not get a chance to watch it, but after hearing your thoughts and comments on it, you know, that money did went to indeed somebody else, you know. Sad disappointment that she did lose the campaign, but hey, she has moved forth, and you never know what's going to happen, so I think it was worth a shot for her.
Absolutely. Jay, are you still getting gas over there in New York or New Jersey?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yep, little interactive right now as I'm online in Brooklyn getting some gas.
Still recovering from Hurricane Sandy, I see.
Yeah, that and a little unexpected snow tonight.
Absolutely. John, do you want to bring up another topic?
Sure. As everyone saw Monday night, Miz off of Team Punk. Rumors are starting to circulate now that Miz may be going face. Is this a full-fledged face turn for the Miz, or is it part of a bigger plan to make him a bigger heel? What do you guys think?
Well, I know that I published on Bleacher Report, you know, some different potential replacements for Ryback. The Miz was definitely one of them, and I assumed that he would turn face. You know, you're bringing it up, then maybe it's another way of just making him a bigger heel, which I never thought of, but that could definitely be a possibility. But I know that a lot of people would love to see a Miz face turn. I know I would love it as well. I think that he could still play the same character. He can still be cocky. He can still talk about how he's the most must-see WWE champion of all time. And he would still talks about his WrestleMania main event and everything. The only thing that would change was how the crowd reacts to him. What do you think, Sam?
Seth, I know you're a big mark for the Miz, and that's cool. I think that this is a big deal for the Miz. I think that this is going to prove whether he really is a main event guy, if he's really going to succeed in the long run, because he's only played when he first got in, he played like goofy, announcer guy on SmackDown, and he flopped. When he came in as a heel, he started small, he got bigger, he improved, and he became champion. So I think if he can get over as a face, which I think is the route that they're going, and I hope they are, because they really need more faces, if he can prove that he can get over as a face, that's just going to speak volumes for him, and the sky's the limit at that point.
Absolutely. Jay, what do you think?
You know, the Miz was a face before. Of course, last year brought him to WrestleMania when he headlined it 2 years ago back against John Cena. You know, the Miz has the talent and the performance to be the face of the WWE. It can, of course, happen once again. I mean, the Miz is just that talented to do how he can perform in that ring. And, of course, with him being face, of course, like you said, they need more people to push and, be the top guy in WWE. Of course, at Survivor Series, the Miz is the poster boy. Something's got to go down, and I hope to give him the Miz to hopefully the big push.
Absolutely. John, which side were you on?
I'm thinking it's more towards the face turn as well. I think last night, SmackDown kind of showed that they were teasing that. Take Make-A-Wish out of it, and next, he probably does as much outside of the company as Cena does. The only thing, like I said, would probably be the Make-A-Wish. So it would make sense to have him in that face role as someone as, the crowd can be behind.
Absolutely. And I'm still reading that the Miz seems to be the favorite to replace Ryback on Team Foley. Moving on, just so everyone knows who's listening, you can also tweet at us, at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. If you have any comments or questions, tweet it to me, and I will read them on the air. Also wanted to mention that tomorrow there's a pre-sale for WrestleMania. I know Sam and I are pretty much set with that, but for those of you who are interested in the pre-sale codes for WrestleMania, there are a number of them, including IZOC, VIP, Lines, and Access. So check those out for the pre-sale tomorrow morning. In other news, it's no secret that Vince McMahon is very happy with Damian Sandow and his character. He's a big fan, and F4WOnline.com is reporting that this could be taken further than its current tag team division status. John, I'm going to start with you. Do you see Damian Sandow sticking in this tag team with Cody Rhodes, or is he a soon-to-be or future world champion?
Yeah, I can see him definitely in 2013 jumping up to the next level, him and Cody. I think this was a good a good team to really get Hell No over. And yeah, Sandow's got the look, and you know, as it's come out, you know, Sandow's a Triple H guy. So, you know, as we've seen with Sheamus and a few other guys, that's never a bad thing.
That's true. Sam, I don't know if you remember, but Damien Sandow was Idol Stevens. He was a teacher's pet. What happened? And do you see him as a future world champion?
I got nothing for respect for the guy. Nothing but respect for the guy. I mean, yeah, I read that he's been like in the business, whether it be in developmental or on the main roster, for like 10 years or something like that, working his way up. He started off as like, you know, as like a tag team with Michelle McCool as their manager, and it was like seemed to be like a job in tag team, but you know, the fact that he's worked his way back up and he's got a decent gimmick now, and you know that he can definitely get over as a heel. I hope he does, because you can't help but have respect for that. So,
absolutely, Jay. What are your thoughts on Damien Sandow?
Now, you guys know that Damien Sandow is a young athlete who can get the job done in the WWE, and they can use him for numerous and numerous of things. You know, Damien Sandow next year, I did not see him winning the World Champion yet, but it is soon to come in his future. I think he should just, you know, continue developing his tag team with Cody Rhodes, Timo Scholar, and they may be on down the line next year winning the United States Champion, the IC Champion, you know, and developing more champions and a, you know, better background behind Damien Sandow before entering the bigger stage, entering the World Series Champion category, before he puts that title on his waist. He's still new, he's still young, and I think he has a lot to do to get to the top, to being the world champion, but trust me, he's on his way there.
Absolutely, and I like your idea of him becoming IC champion. I know the WWE is very behind Kofi Kingston right now, but he's obviously not going to be a long-term IC champion, and you know, he could be a great transitional champion for the next top heel like Damien Sandow. All right, John, it's all up to you. What are we doing next?
All right, I got something. Basically, besides Sandow being a big character in 13, there's a lot of talk that a lot of the early push for 2013 will be built around The Rock heading into his Royal Rumble match against CM Punk at the Royal Rumble and into WrestleMania. I might be in the minority here, but I think this is actually a bad thing with a lot of the other talent that will be on the rise for WrestleMania. I disagree with The Rock, especially as a part-time performer, being a big focal point of the show. What do you guys think?
Well, there are obviously pros and cons to it. I do agree that it would be almost too predictable if Rock beats Punk and then Cena beats Rush. That's what everyone's expecting. So in that way, I hope it doesn't happen. But at the same time, it would make a lot of sense. Is The Rock really going to lose in a WWE Championship match? You know, I don't know. I don't know if they would do that to him. He could be a guy like Brock Lesnar, though, who comes in and doesn't care if he wins or loses, as he only wrestles occasionally. Sam?
Not to cut you off, Seth. I'm sorry, Sam.
Go ahead.
But I actually, yeah, I'm sticking with my guns that Lesnar cost Rock the match at the Rumble, and I think that's going to be your WrestleMania match.
That would be good. I would be all for that. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, I agree 100% that it sucks for the young guys who are working, you know, 300 days a year trying to get to the main event. You know, it's just, you know, Vince, they got to go where the money's at, you know, and it's obvious that The Rock draws, and with the monumental pay-per-view buys and that WrestleMania 28 got, I mean, it's obvious that The Rock still draws. So, they got to go with their big guns come road to WrestleMania time. So, but, I mean, yes, it's the most sense would be, you know, because you can't have The Rock lose clean to CM Punk at the Royal Rumble, because that would just negate his entire comeback, and how would you make him look at all strong at WrestleMania? So I never even thought about Brock and Rock at WrestleMania. I thought that they would do Rock Cena 2 for the title, But again, that is very predictable, and you know, and they always try to shy away from what's the most predictable. I mean, I think a lot of people thought Cena was going to beat The Rock last year, and then he ended up losing. So, and that, you know, that that turned a lot of heads. So,
like everyone, do you mean you, Sam? I think you just mean
yeah,
you,
me,
Sam.
Me, you might be right. I'm not sure. But yeah, I was distraught to say the least. Seth, you saw my face. But
I did.
But yeah, so
Jay, what do you think about the Rock Brock and the Rock possibly becoming the next WWE champion in 2013?
I mean, that is where they're going with this. I'm sure the Rock will be WWE champion, but I gotta say I'm not excited to see CM Punk versus the Rock. I mean, I think CM Punk is getting weaker and weaker as we go along. I mean, we have seen him with the champion about almost all year now, and even more than that. I mean, Ryback is making him look weak, even weaker than Hell in a Cell. And I think CM Punk will just not, you know, and him and The Rock will not be a great headline for the Royal Rumble. Now, people are saying, as you guys just said, The Rock versus Brock Lesnar. You know, that is awesome. Great prediction. But then who would you have fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania? I hope not John Cena because, you know, it could be a great match. But, of course, nobody really favors Cena in that when people are really talking about Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker and then The Rock and Cena for part two. You know, some of the things you can do. And people are saying maybe you could push Ryback. Maybe have Ryback somehow win the championship and go against The Rock at the Royal Rumble and have The Rock win and then Ryback goes against maybe Brock Lesnar when Brock Lesnar interferes with the Royal Rumble to help The Rock either win or lose. So it can go a lot of different ways going into WrestleMania. Just not that, you know, can't be too, you know, too correct about your prediction here, but you know, who do you face at Taker at the WrestleMania is what I'm thinking if you have the Brock Lesnar versus The Rock at WrestleMania.
John, what about the idea of Rock losing to Punk, helping Punk look like the best WWE champion ever? John, are you with us? Let's see if John is still with us or not. He should be. All right. Well, Sam, are you there?
Yeah, man.
Do you think that if Rock loses to Punk, it will actually help Punk's title reign?
If he, honestly, would it help his title reign? Without a doubt, because, I mean, you know, a lot of people look at The Rock as, you know, one of, if not the, you know, greatest superstar ever, especially since, like, he beat Hogan, and then he beat Cena, and you know, he's beat Austin, and he's beat, you know, all the main guys at Mania. You know, anyone beating The Rock makes them look incredibly strong, especially at this point. But I don't see it happening. I don't see it making a lot of sense if they're going to keep The Rock around. You know, if he's going to make it, if he's going to have his big pay-per-view matches, if they're going to continue to do that, then it would just not make sense, and it would just make him look incredibly weak if he's going to work a match at WrestleMania, which I'm pretty sure is the plan. So.
Yeah, they've got to set something. They've got to either use Royal Rumble to put the title on Rock or set some sort of feud up for him at WrestleMania. Would you agree?
Exactly. And in the process, making him look strong going into the feud at WrestleMania. And for him to, you know, if he lost dirty to Punk at the Royal Rumble, I think everyone would just be incredibly disappointed, just like they were probably disappointed at Hell in a Cell when he won dirty against Ryback. If he won dirty at Royal Rumble against The Rock, I think it would just make him look more like a weak champion. So for him to win, unless it's clean, he won't look any stronger. But if it is clean, then it makes The Rock look weak. So I don't see that happening. I can't see that happening at the Rumble.
Right. Absolutely. All right, moving on. JBL to return full-time announcing. Which show will he be on? JBL posted this on his Facebook page. very happy WWE and I have worked out a deal for me to return on a full-time basis. There came a need when my friend Jerry Lawler had a heart attack, was not able to work. However, I realized how much I enjoyed being back, and this was the basis for my decision to return. Jay, are you happy to see JBL return to full-time announcing, and which show should he be on?
First of all, of course, JBL, he can work the mic. He's great on the mic, and I said this before on my show. Of course, Inside Wrestling, we all said JBL would be perfect to bring him back, and they did bring him back when Jerry had the incident, and he should stay with the WWE. You can't disagree. JBL has done his job in the previous times with SmackDown and Raw, commentating on the table, and that's why he's doing it now, and that's why he's great at it. I think it'll be most likely for JBL to return full-time with SmackDown. With Jerry Lawler coming back to Raw, and Michael Cole, of course, going to be still there, there's really no need for JBL to be on Monday Night Raw. Is there anything that we need? The major help on Friday Night SmackDown, just helping out with maybe Michael Cole or sometimes Jess Matthews. So SmackDown with JBL belongs, and what he was a couple of years back on the table, SmackDown should be the spot for JBL.
What do you think, Sam?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, JBL's the man. Like, I got mad respect for JBL. The only thing I would worry about is, it's not even that big a deal, but like at Hell in a Cell, he sounded very rusty at Hell in a Cell, even though he's been back for a few weeks prior. Like there was one point, and I don't remember when. I think it was maybe during the Divas match, but and again, it's Divas match. But you know, he was like making a bunch of mistakes and then correcting himself and saying how like you know he was like. You know, putting himself down on camera and things like that. So I like JBL. I think, you know, he's just got to kind of get back into the swing of things. But definitely on SmackDown. If not on SmackDown, like maybe on Main Event or something. But definitely not on Raw.
Absolutely. I mean, I kind of thought about it. I think the obvious choice is for him to stay with Josh Matthews on SmackDown and then have Cole and Lawler on Raw. But a lot of people were getting sick of Lawler on Raw and saying how corny he was and all this stuff. John, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, what do you think about JBL going to full-time announcing and which show should he be on?
I love it. I think it's great. I was so happy when I caught that on Facebook earlier tonight, and I agree with you guys. I think SmackDown's the show for him. I think he can. Matthews could learn a lot from him. Not that Matthews is the worst announcer in the world, but Matthews could really learn a lot from him. So I think SmackDown's the show for him to go.
Yeah, I think that the WWE was definitely missing color commentators. Lawler was really the only one for a while. I think Josh Matthews and Michael Cole were doing SmackDown for a while. That was during the whole Michael Cole, I can't stand you thing going on there when he decided that he was a part-time wrestler. But John, people were getting sick of Jerry Lawler, and we know that he was going to be back on Monday. Do you think people are going to think about him differently now and appreciate him any differently, or is he going to still just be the corny, annoying guy?
No, I think people will appreciate him a little differently now. How long that lasts is, I guess, probably more of the question. I could definitely see Lawler getting a pass at least through WrestleMania, but if Lawler has a bad WrestleMania, you'll start to see the people that be like, oh, maybe he shouldn't have come back. And then it will probably morph into the, well, you know what, Lawler sucks. But I think he'll get a pass, at least for the immediate future.
All right. It's all up to you now, John. Where are we going?
Okay. Basically, Jay kind of set this up last night, and I want to get your guys' point of view on this. With the reveal of Luke Gallows Thursday night, in Aces and Eights, had it finally gotten to a point where in TNA, the old WWE guys are starting to take over the main event scene as well as three quarters of Impact. What do you guys think? Have we finally hit a point with Impact, or do we still have a good balance?
Well, I was tweeting with Jay about this earlier also. And, you know, I was saying it's similar to what WCW is doing, with taking guys from WWE who are pretty much done and trying to reincarnate them and doing a really shitty job. I'm not a fan of TNA. I don't think that they do a very good job. I think the Aces and Eights storyline has gone on way too long. And I think that it was really obvious that we were going to see Luke Gallows. Everyone talked about it. So I wasn't surprised, and I don't think that they do anything that's surprising either. And it's basically another version of WCW. And what do you think?
I agree. I watch TNA because I like pro wrestling. I don't watch TNA because TNA is good. Yeah, the Aces and Eights thing. They're milking this so much. Like they should have you know, unmasked everyone at their Bound for Glory pay per view, but instead they unmasked D-Von, and he's not even the leader. He's like the sergeant at arms, and that is ridiculous. That makes no sense. Their storylines are so incongruent. There's no flow to any of their storylines. One day it's this, the next day it's this. I mean, in the end, they gotta go. You know, they talk about, you know, all loyalty to the guys who have been there from the beginning, and to an extent they do that, but in the end you got to go with guys who are going to make the company money, and yes, I mean, in the majority of it are guys who you know, established themselves for the most part in WWE. You got a couple of the guys like James Storm, who's still in the main event scene, AJ Styles, who's still in the main event scene somewhat. You know, but, you know, other than that, it's Sting, who is, you know, from somewhere else, Angle from somewhere else, you know, Bully Ray from somewhere else, D-Von from somewhere else, and so on and so on. So, absolutely, the WWE guys are, you know, starting to, you know, it's starting to show that, you know, they are where the money is.
Before I get to ask Jay, I just want to ask if anyone listening is a huge TNA fan and not so much a WWE fan. I urge you to call in because I'm very curious to hear from a very big TNA fan and how they feel about this. But Jay, I don't know what your take is. Why don't you give us your take on the situation?
Of course, I'm not really a big TNA fan. Actually, I said on my show, and I feel free to say on this show, I do not watch a lot of TNA. Basically, I do not watch TNA almost at all. Not because it's not good, it's just because I don't take the time to watch it. Basically, I'm all WWE, but I do agree with Sam said just a few minutes ago, even though I do not have a lot of you know, contact with TNA, so basically out of the pass on this subject.
Yeah, what's your take on it, John? Which way were you leaning towards?
I think it's going to be a little repetitive. I mean, my view of what should have been at Bound for Glory versus what was a prime example of an old WWE guy taking the spotlight from TNA guys. So I just think it's getting a little old. But, you know, it's obvious where this Aces and Eights storyline is probably going. That's going to be a bunch of WWE rejects like Gallows, probably Knox, Jay Bradley, a couple of other guys like that. So, yeah, I think they've gotten to a point where, you know, they're making it almost impossible for their own guys to be the stars of the show.
Yeah, Sam, do you remember a few weeks ago I met Gallows and Knox, and you were like, yo, you must be the leader of Aces and Eights.
Absolutely. I read that they were under the mask. At least those two guys. Obviously, the guy with the long hair is Wes Briscoe. You know, I'm sure everybody realizes that by now, although he got, like, injured or something in a past show. but, yeah.
Yeah, he's been a popular name among them. All right, moving on. Let's see. What do you guys think about the change in the main event for Survivor Series? It was supposed to be Team Foley versus Team Punk, and now we have Team Foley against Team Ziggler. John, what do you think?
I think they pulled the plug too early. I think they really pulled the plug early. You could have brought Foley to London. You could have had the five guys on each team face each other off this week on Raw, especially being that it was a throwaway show in London, and it was going to be taped. You know, you could have done that. You had time to build it. You know, I was really hoping for Cena Ziggler on that show as well. So I'm a little disappointed. I am. I thought this could have really had some potential to be something a little different, and I really think they dropped the ball with it.
Sam, what do you think?
I definitely agree. I think saying they pulled the plug is a really good way to put it. They pulled the plug too early. I think this has to do with I've been reading that, you know, with Raw being 3 hours and them struggling to find content to film a 3 hour show, that I feel like that this was just like a miscommunication between them, and they probably didn't really need to do it, but you know, they've just been running around crazy with 3 hour show that I think that they definitely pulled the plug too early. And I think the triple threat match, you know, it's got potential, but I agree, it's definitely too early.
There was a lot of criticism over there not being a WWE Championship match, but I thought it was a great way to prolong CM Punk's next title reign. And they easily could have this triple threat match be a TLC and probably a much more interesting match as a TLC match. What do you think, Jay?
I do want to make 2 points. One point that you just made, it could have helped us see on Punk's reign, you know, drag a little longer going into the Royal Rumble, just to make it a little easier for CM Punk to have that title, carrying out to the Royal Rumble. Another point is, what I said in my show is, I think this is a great move, making a triple threat match, because one thing, you know, it was the team fighting Team Punk was an okay idea, but it wasn't worth watching. You know, it wasn't the huge Survivor Series event. And, you know, with the Raw going 3 hours, and Vince and his booking team has been doing poorly on Raw with dragging out storylines and not really booking a lot of great matches. Like I said before, you know, this is perfect. I think this is a great move. Now Survivor Series can be just that much better just by making that triple threat match.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they already put so much time into the way they had things already with the Team Foley, Team Punk, and then the Cena Ziggler and the Big Show Sheamus. It was going to be interesting, but they had already spent so much time in that, and then now it becomes obvious that they pulled the plug too early because there's only one more episode of Raw until Survivor Series. John, I'll throw it to you. Where do you want to go from here?
Any you guys thinking anything about any chance Dolph Ziggler being with AJ, as they're the ones that are in on this, to screw Cena, to prolong the Ziggler-Cena feud, possibly at TLC?
I mean, I'd like to see a Cena Ziggler feud. I think what the feud that they had going would be good. And even with all these segments, where does it go from here? Because now Cena's in the WWE Championship match. Are they just going to forget about Ziggler, AJ, and Vicky? I don't think so. But where's it going to go from here?
I have no idea. I'm wondering if maybe Ziggler can cost Cena at the triple threat, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Ziggler can't cash in the Money in the Bank on whoever wins that. So who knows? It doesn't exactly add up right now.
I agree, Sam. What do you think?
I think I definitely want to see it. I mean, Ziggler, you know, he's working real hard, and the guy deserves to, you know, get a little bigger, you know, bigger spot. But and I think that to put him in a feud with Cena would really begin to do that. I also think that whatever pay-per-view he does have a match with Cena, I think that's going to be like the perfect time for him to cash it in, because what I see happening is him losing to Cena and then feeling all down. Then he cashes it in on the world heavyweight champion is at that time, wins, and everyone forgets about the feud with Cena. So he looks, you know, he's built back up again really quick. That's what I see happening, and I think that would make sense.
Yeah, I think that the idea of Ziggler interfering and causing Cena the match would work out pretty well. I think it's obvious that Cena's probably going to get pinned by Punk in this match, so that Ryback doesn't look any weaker and Punk still keeps the belt. But what do you think, Jay?
Yes, I do totally agree with Sam's prediction that it could happen, and that should be the best way to happen. But one thing I do want to point out is, you know, with the Ziggler and John Cena feud, you know, a lot can happen with that. Of course, Ziggler, you know, still a top guy and will be top guy as soon as he cashes in the Money briefcase. But, you know, we don't see a lot of sense of continuing this feud with John Cena and Dolph Ziggler. First, I don't see Ziggler interfering in this match. I think this match would just go down to, I guess, the winner of the match is probably most likely CM Punk. But I don't see any interference, of course, by Ziggler maybe costing just Cena the match. I just don't see that happening. You know, the feud with, you know, John Cena and Dolph Ziggler, you know, it can help Cena, you know, do have something to do while going into next year, 2013, by Royal Rumble time. Because once he probably most likely does lose his triple threat match, where do you go from there? And you can also continue that feud with Dolph Ziggler. So, yeah, that can perfectly happen, exactly what Sam said.
All right. John, you got something else for us?
Actually, I'm a little light right now.
Okay. No problem.
Let me ask you something. Any chance, and I know we're all kind of speculating where Cena Ziggler goes from here, but is there any chance somehow Cena Ryback ends up costing the other one at the triple threat? Is there any chance we can get Cena Ryback at TLC? What do you guys think?
Well, it was an interesting stare down between the two, and I kind of liked that. But what would the, you know, focus be? What would the winner get out of that?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because you can't do number one contender because, you know, the Royal Rumble's already set. So, yeah, good point. All right. I was just kind of thinking outside the box there, maybe.
Yeah. I think this triple threat match would have been perfect for TLC. Do the traditional 5-on-5 match, no WWE Championship match, and then have the triple threat at TLC. And it would be probably a very entertaining match. Sam and I are going to be there, so I would definitely want it to be there.
I may be there as well. I'm going to drop off for a little bit, throw you guys on mute while I fill up the tank, and I'll jump back on as soon as I'm done.
All right, sounds good. All right. Jay, is there any topics that you want to bring up? I know that you are always full of questions.
Of course, you know, I do want to bring up one thing about possibly people are saying about Vicky Guerrero. On my show, Sports Kingdom mentioned, and people are saying, do you guys think that Vicky Guerrero should have some time off? You know, she has been doing a lot for WWE in the past couple of years now. Do you guys think it's time for Vicky Guerrero to have a seat maybe just for a little while?
I like that you're bringing this up because personally, I can't stand Vicky anymore. I think she's a great heel. I think that she generates so much heat from the crowd. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but on Raw, I don't know how you couldn't have missed it. Those crowds were really, really against her. They were so loud you could barely hear. So she definitely generates a lot of heat. And another article I published on Bleacher Report recently was other possibility, better options for the managing supervisor of Raw. And honestly, I think that it should be Paul Heyman. I think Paul Heyman would work out really well in this situation, especially right now where WWE is right now. I hear in the back that he does have some creative control in the back and that he is helping out. So I think that it would make a lot of sense for him to be Raw managing supervisor. I think Vicky, there are so many other things they could do with Vicky, and I think that there are probably superstars who could really use Vicky Guerrero, whether they want to give her time off or not. If they don't, because she definitely generates a lot of heat, I definitely would prefer to see her as a manager, not with Dolph Ziggler, but with someone who really needs it. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Vicky Guerrero. You know, like she started off as, you know, she came into this situation out of nowhere, not having any managerial wrestling, whatever experience. She came into it. She generated, you know, huge heat as the general manager of SmackDown, and then getting with Edge and Big Show and all that. But I don't know what you guys think about this, but she gets a lot of heat. Like, she gets like John Laurinaitis heat, and I kind of feel like she's getting a little like Michael Cole-esque per se, because like I while she gets this immense heat, I think it's kind of getting to the point where like people are like annoyed. She's not like a character that people love to hate. I think there's people are starting to get like annoyed that she's on TV so much. I think people are just kind of getting sick of it, you know. It's like kind of like the same thing over and over again. So I wouldn't mind to see her step off camera, or maybe, you know, become someone else's mouthpiece for a little while. But I'm starting to get bored with her character. It's kind of old and repetitive. The only thing I see with Paul Heyman is if you put him in that position, what happens with, you know, him being like Punk's, not so much mouthpiece, but, you know, advisor or whatever. And then whenever Brock Lesnar comes back he's also got to be his mouthpiece, because Brock Lesnar can't cut a promo to save his life. So that's the only thing I see. I mean, he could probably do all of it, you know, to be like the heel general manager figure who backs two of the biggest heels in the company. I could see that happening, and just, you know, creating more heat for everyone. So it'll be interesting. So what do you guys think?
Absolutely. John, I want to get your take on this. Jay asked about Vicky Guerrero, whether or not WWE should give her some time off. We've seen a lot of her, and I was saying how I didn't like the idea of her becoming managing supervisor of Raw. I preferred to see Paul Heyman in that situation, but Sam brings up a very good idea. It would be kind of hard for them to do, since he is CM Punk's so-called advisor and Brock Lesnar's mouthpiece. But what's your take on Vicky Guerrero's place in WWE? I know she generates a ton of heat, and that's probably why WWE likes her. But what do you think?
She does, and you guys are right in that aspect. There's one thing that we can all look at as what we need in order to get Vicky out of this role, and we need that TNA WWE lawsuit to end as soon as possible, because I guarantee
Agreed.
The minute that is settled, Flair will be the man. You know,
yeah.
I think they probably wanted
Flair in now.
It's still that lawsuit. I mean, all the signs pointed to it 2 weeks ago, Raw being in Charlotte, him canceling independent appearances. But, with that lawsuit still in play, it looks like they're not going to touch him until that's done. But there is no reason to believe that the minute that settlement is agreed upon, that Flair will not be in that role that following Monday, and she'll be into something else.
And Judd, what do you think about Paul Heyman as managing supervisor of Raw?
Heyman would be great, but Jay or Sam just said, It would be hard to kind of explain how, you know, she's had to distance herself from Ziggler, but yet he's still going to be able to be the guy with Punk. Well, maybe not so much Punk, because Punk doesn't need it, but going to have to be the guy with Lesnar. It won't really make sense, you know, although when was the last time creative actually made a lot of sense? So I mean, I guess they could do it if they had to. Heyman would be great in the role, but it would just be one of those cases where 2 + 2 would equal 6.
Absolutely. All right, guys. What about the rest of the Survivor Series card? I mean, we know we'll have Big Show Sheamus. We now have the WWE Championship match, triple threat match, and we will have a Team Ziggler versus Team Foley or Team Orton, whatever you want to call it. But what else do you expect to be on the cards? I'll start with you, Jay.
Of course, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I do expect the Unified Tag Team Champions to maybe defend their titles against Team World Scholar. A guy of mine came on my show, Ringless Radio, host Donald Wood, had an awesome prediction that maybe at Survivor Series it could be a four-man tag team match for the championship, like Team World Scholar, the primetime players, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, and of course Team Hell No. That would be a huge match, even though most
they're
likely that won't happen
on
with only one week.
Yeah,
they're both in the five and five.
They're
in the correct. Team Foley. Oh, yeah, so the Unified Tag Team Champs most likely won't be defended. Yeah, I did forget about, thanks for mentioning that. But yeah, that would have been a huge match, even though that's not going to happen. Of course, the Team Hell No in there.
That will probably happen at TLC.
Yeah, possibly.
Sam, what do you think? What other matches do you expect? Are we going to see another traditional Survivor Series match? Because right now we only have one. Last year there was only one. Is this really Survivor Series if we only have one match?
I know. I honestly love the traditional four-on-four or five-on-five, whatever it ends up being. It changes all the time. But I love those matches. It's just very nostalgic, you know, like going back to, like, you know, like the early 90s when, like, all the matches were Survivor Series matches and they'd come up with these, like, funny names for the teams and stuff like that. Like, I love that stuff. I wish there was more. Unfortunately, I don't think there will be. You got like all your main event guys are like accounted for, whether it be in the title matches or this match, so or the Survivor Series match. So I feel like we're gonna see primetime players probably against Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. No, wait, are Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara in the final?
No, they're not scheduled.
They're not. All right. So I see probably them facing off again, which I think it's just kind of like they're just kind of like searching for something. But I mean, then you got I'm sure Cesaro will probably defend in something, maybe against like the Funkasaurus or something. But one thing I wanted to say is, I don't know if you guys have seen, but I've been reading that apparently like Lesnar still has like a whole bunch of dates left on his 1 year contract that he still hasn't used. They've been careful about using them. Does anybody see him interfering in the triple threat somehow and then causing a tag match for TLC between Ryback and Cena and Punk and Lesnar? Does that sound far-fetched, or does anyone see that as a possibility?
I can't see that happening, only because you got to save Lesnar for everything past January of next year. The spot to have used Lesnar would have been Hell in the Cell. As far as the Survivor Series card goes, I wouldn't be surprised if you got Cesaro Truth, like you guys said, Mysterio Cara against the PTP, maybe even added into a Survivor Series match. Maybe you could throw Santino and Ryder and throw the Primo and Epico. So, you know, and you'll probably get a Divas title match.
John, what do you think about, you know, there's only one traditional Survivor Series match so far scheduled. Last year there was only one. Hell in a Cell, there was only one Hell in a Cell match. Why is there only one of the gimmick matches for the pay-per-view? What's the point of calling it that pay-per-view then?
I got no idea. I mean, Hell in a Cell, I still think is one of those things that should be unique. So I kind of like the fact that they scaled back on it. But as far as the Survivor Series goes, I grew up on, you know, the Rude Brood versus, you know, Rowdies and stuff like that, you know. I kind of miss those.
Yeah, those were great. Jay, what do you think?
Of course, I do agree with you with the Survivor Series. There should be more tag team matches. Somebody did mention that on my show. Also, the Hell in a Cell thing, you know, I think they should have used a little bit more Hell in a Cell matches, at least the two world major champions, the world champion and the WWE champion, at least should have been the Hell in a Cell match, not just the WWE champion, CM Punk versus Ryback. But, yeah, I think they do need to add some more traditional tag team matches, even though I don't think it's possible. Last year was one. I think this year is going to be one. I think they tried to get maybe one traditional match for Survivor Series, like Team Foley and Team Ziggler, trying to make that huge. Like before, if Punk was the leader, that was going to be a huge almost main event match. And, you know, I think they're trying to go towards one traditional match and use that as the, you know, big traditional tag team, just make one main event.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned something that I was going to say something about it. Now I can't remember. All right, well, we do have time for one more topic that I wanted to bring up, and that is Daniel Bryan is a big fan, has a big fan of Vince McMahon. After Hell No runs its course, do you expect to see Daniel Bryan in the World Championship picture, whether it's World Heavyweight Championship or WWE Championship? Will he become World Champion again, John?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Great answer.
I think Bryan's actually shown that he's got the personality now to go with it. I could definitely see once they break up, I could actually see Kane going the heel of the two and giving Bryan that monumental win that he would need to elevate him to a main event status. And, yeah, I could see Bryan holding either one of those belts by mid-2013.
Yeah, I think that would be very entertaining, and I agree with you that he would probably be the face. Sam, do you expect him to be world champion, and is he going to be face or heel?
I've seen that Vince is very high up on him. How could you not be? I mean, like, you know, he's very entertaining. Him and Kane, they're priceless together. I think that it's time for him to turn face. Like, he really turned the page, and like as far as like becoming a big main eventer when he turned heel last year, at the end of last year. But it's again, if he can get over to the point he is now as a face, then that'll just, again, kind of similar with The Miz, it'll show that, you know, they're ready and meant to be in the main event spot. And definitely, but I 100% agree, he will be one of the champions by mid-2013, and definitely as a face. And if I hope it's as a face.
I'll give you one more thing, too. Think about what it's going to do for the team that actually does beat them, how over that's going to put them, you know, being the team that finally beats this act, which was so over and so popular. You know, it's going to be one of those things that everyone's going to win out on in the end when it finally does happen.
That's true. I mean, I expect that team to be Rhodes Scholars. I think that they have all the right pieces, all the right things going on to be the next tag team champions.
I want to say them, but I just think it's too soon for this to end, and I don't know if their program's going to go on that long, and I don't know if Rhodes and Sandow really need it. You know, they're over enough on their own that they may not need to be the team that beats them. It would probably help more of a PTP or the Usos or a team like that to be the team that beats them, obviously because of the meltdown and the breakdown between the two of them leading to the breakup. So I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, that soon for it to be Rhodes Scholars, to be honest with you.
Well, we will have to see. Jay, real quick, what do you expect from Daniel Bryan and his future?
Of course, I think he can be a world champion in late 2013. Of course, he has the performance and style to do it once again. Of course. Secondly, about the team, hell no. Personally, I do think that it's better off for them to separate. I think they're dragging out the team, hell no storyline just a little bit too far with the, you know, sort of comedy that they bring to Monday Night Raw. I think, you know, Daniel Bryan deserves to go his separate way and Kane deserves to go his separate, you know, towards the end of the year. I like to see a more monster Kane, not so friendly Kane. And Daniel Bryan, of course, when he becomes champion, of course, when he breaks up a team with Kane, he'll be a more face for the WWE.
Absolutely. All right, we just have a few more minutes left. Jay, do you want to promote your show? Let us know how to find it, where to go, what to do.
Really quick, yeah, you can go to, of course, blogtalkradio.com, go to the search engine and type in Talking WWE with J and find out all the shows, or you can simply go to blogtalkradio.com/talking-wwe-with-j. Co-hosts, I have two great co-hosts, Nick and Sports Kino so far. We will be live tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, entitled Laid Back Thursday, when we just lay back and talk about WWE news and topics like we were today. Yes, it's a great show. Go ahead, feel free to check it out. And also, I have a new podcast that I just made on iTunes. It's easier access to listen to our shows. Download the app if you have an iPod, iPhone, whatever. Download the app, subscribe to Talking WBJ, and that's the easy way to access our shows.
All right, great. John, do you want to promote anything? Anything at all?
Got an article. Hopefully, Jay gets put up on PWP this week. Looking at 10 of the most influential jumps in modern history.
Interesting. Jump in terms of face heel turn, or jump from WCW to WWE?
Company to company.
Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That's where. Our show comes from, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, again with two T's, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. You can also like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/GutWrenchPowerBlog. Sam, anything you want to promote? Feed me more?
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite sayings of all. That's one of my favorite slogans of all time.
All I have to say is feed Sam some more, and thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of Oh, You Didn't Know?